small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Christy Stratton.
And I'm Kyle Dawson.
And today, everybody, we are here. Christy's here, which is exciting because
that's nice. So many, really sweet.
It's not me, it's the emails. I could care less. No. No, everyone, more Christy. I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm working it. She's a busy lady. Your fingernail polish currently matches your ice blended.
Yes.
Kinda
and
does.
And by the way, if when my mouth freezes, I talk a little weird. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that when I said Christy Stratton, it sounds like I've had a stroke. I have not had a stroke.
You have Bell's palsy.
I'm fine. I really have a fear of that, by the way.
Bell's palsy?
Yeah. I have a fear of waking up one morning.
And it just happens.
And it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My friend's sister-in-law had it, and then a friend of mine had it, and it goes away.
It does.
Hers didn't. She still has lingering effects of it. It can go away in like 2 weeks and then it can just stay.
Okay.
But there's worse things you could have than that, though. Like a full-on stroke would be worse.
Yes.
My cousin had a Raggedy Andy doll and it was like handmade, but one of the eyes was like uneven and like its mouth was crooked. So we called it Bell's Palsy Raggedy Andy.
Guys. Oh, let's.
They should sell that. Why don't they sell that? They should sell. They should market that one.
To teach people about
acceptance.
The effects of Bell's palsy.
Christy, what's Grammys are on tonight at the night of this record. Do you watch that tonight?
Apparently not.
I hadn't planned on it, but I like to tune in and see, you know, some of these acts.
It's
see the mashups.
It's so
see
weird.
See the hoo-has, whatever.
It is, though. Like, I used to, like, stay in touch enough to where I'd be like, I know who that is. I don't know their music, but I know who that is. But sometimes now someone will come on and I'll go, I've never even heard that name before.
Yeah.
What is that? Who's that person? Mm-hmm. And that's, I don't like that.
I went one year, a few years ago, and it was fantastic. Other than the guy that, that weird guy that, Frank Ocean. I can't get into it. I can't. Yeah. He was Forrest Gump and he's walking on a treadmill. Like I can't, I don't, my brain can't process that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, all the acts were terrific. And
yeah.
I'm like, all I could think of was, wow, these are people's children. You know, these are people at the top of their game and they're all, most of them very young.
Yeah.
And it was really something. It was really something.
Well, next year, we'll see if we can make this happen. Last year, David Wilde invited me and my daughter to go watch the dress rehearsal. And,
wow.
And Wayne Fetterman was there too.
Oh!
So maybe next year we'll hint around if they don't do it in New York again. Because what they do is they just run the musical acts top to bottom. And no, they do the whole show, but just like the celebrities don't come out and you don't and you don't find out who wins. But you get to see all the performances. Like we saw Adele, you know, in no makeup on, and she just came out and did her song.
Is it New York this year?
It's New York this year, yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So that's why.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is not.
No.
It is not in New York. And y'all, it is not easy to get to Cleveland nonstop from here. I'm just telling you.
That's our topic today. You already know that. But you
getting to Cleveland nonstop?
Did you make your plans yet?
Yes.
You and Gary are going.
Yes.
So you fly to Florida and then Florida to Cleveland.
Honestly, I'm like, I wanted to cash in miles because I'm a lady. I can't be put in the back with all the emotional support animals.
No. With the Bon Jovi fans who are flying from LA with their tattoos and
their
anthems. So you can't
bring that flag on the plane.
No.
You're going to have to check that flag.
Where's Johnny while you go? Is he going along? Is he going to Ohio?
No, he is not. We're just doing a couple nights. So we'll put him with somebody.
And do you have an in or did you buy tickets?
We have an in, but not like we're not going to sit at the tables. Or
right,
anything,
right, right.
But we have an in that can give us a pass that, you know, we can, I guess.
To sit at the tables, it's like 10 grand or
at
something.
At least,
crazy.
Yeah.
And they don't even pay for like your whole family to come out. That's what Steve Miller was railing against. Mm-hmm. He's like, they're paying for me and then my not going to pay for my wife and my kids to come out. What, then what kind of an honor is this?
Right.
Which is true.
It is true. I agree. That's crappy.
So I'm losing my train of thought. We're going to go through the people that are getting inducted this year. We're going to go in alphabetical order.
Okay.
Is that cool with you?
Yes.
It gets your least favorite out of the way.
And we did a deal where I only had to pick one song. I just picked two.
But I could pick, to be honest, it's so funny. It was so hard for you to pick two, and it was hard for me just to pick two because Bon Jovi music really means a lot to me.
Oh,
it really does. I don't know if it's from, you know, growing up in a working class part of the country. Or
you are wearing a blue collar right now.
Wearing a blue collar shirt. But I just, and Alexi Lawless texted me and he said, did you guys say Bon Jovi wasn't influential? He was so mad. And I was like, I got steamrolled. I let him steamroll me. I didn't fight. So Alexi and I are going to do an all Bon Jovi episode in a couple of weeks.
Play your songs then.
So alphabetically, we will do Bon Jovi, The Cars, uh-huh. Dire Straits, Moody Blues, Nina Simone, and the other artist is
Sister
Rosetta Tharpe.
Yes, who I brought a couple of good songs from.
Where she's wailing on the guitar.
She plays it's in the 40s. Mm-hmm. It's like early 40s. And she's accompanying herself. She's playing the, you know, she's shredding the hot licks herself.
I probably thought she was a witch.
Honestly, it's very interesting.
She was crazy.
I did some research. Anyway, it's very interesting how she and Nina Simone dissimilar backgrounds where they came up in the churches and gospel music, but then once they kind of started to do more secular stuff, that they were kind of looked down at for that.
Well,
both of them in their way.
They were women. They were women of color. Mm-hmm. I mean, back then they were going to be looked down on for whatever.
Absolutely.
There was going to be a reason to look down on them.
Might as well do what you want to do.
Yeah, so thankfully they were strong women and just said, you know, basically, fuck it. Do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Now, before we start, a listener was so happy that on the Year in Review episode, so happy that you love that Fastball song.
Oh!
This gentleman is David Ace Gutierrez.
Yes.
His favorite bands are Fastball and Queen. And he was so excited that you liked that song that he bought this for you.
What?
And he sent it to me so that I could give it to you today. That's the new Fastball CD.
That is so nice. Thank you, David Ace Gutierrez.
You said it right. Ace. I don't know why it's Ace, David. You're going to have to let me know
that.
In a text or something.
Big fan of cards.
He's a big
and
fan.
Ace
he loves
Freely.
He loves Ace Freely. All right. So Bon Jovi, I got stats before I'm going to start with the stats.
Please.
I'm going to let everyone know what's going on with these bands. Okay, Bon Jovi. Now, as far as the fan votes go, they had the most fan votes to get in to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They had 1,162,000. They've been active from 1984 to the present. They have 13 studio albums, 6 number one albums, 29 million albums sold in the USA, 105 million albums sold worldwide, 17 top 40 singles, 10 top 10 singles, 4 number one singles. They've won 2 American Music Awards, and they've won 1 Grammy. And the members that will be inducted are John Bon Jovi, Richie Sambora, David Bryan, Tico Torres, Alec John Such, who was the original bass player, and then this guy, Hugh McDonald, who has been the bass player since 1996, but never on the albums. He was like their bass player, but they did that thing like the Stones did, where when Bill Wyman left, they didn't introduce a new member into the band.
Okay.
Until 2016, after Richie was gone and they had to get a new guitarist, then they kind of had to make Hugh an official member of the band, put him on the albums and stuff. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But that guy played on like every Bon Jovi album because he, like their other bass player, not that good. So he would he would play the studio stuff and the other guy would tour. Anyway, okay, that's the stats on Bon Jovi.
Do you know who's inducting them?
Yes, and I don't like this at all.
How do you know this information?
This is the only one that they've announced. And I don't like this at all because I really feel that this is going to detract from them being inducted. It's Howard Stern.
Okay, here's what I will say.
Mm-hmm.
I watched last year's, and David Letterman inducting Pearl Jam was phenomenal.
It is, but David Letterman doesn't make an event like that about himself, and Howard does. That's what I'm afraid of. It's going to be all about, I got laid to bunch. It's going to be all that fucking bullshit. So, I mean, I hope he doesn't do that.
Okay.
Doesn't he get enough of that every day? Does he have to do it? But he's going to be in front of all these people. You'll know. You'll let me know.
Yeah.
So, and then the other ones, no one's been announced yet. But when we get to them, maybe we can kind of think about who we think it might be.
I'm scared. But the ones last year were actually pretty good, like the guy from Train that inducted Journey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? But it was so heartfelt,
right,
and it was so lovely. To me, the Danny Harrison ELO one was the big stinker.
Yeah.
That one was the big, like, your dad felt this and your dad felt that. Like, great, let's talk about the music.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the, I'm just nervous about it.
I would have wanted, who's the band we just talked about before that?
Bon Jovi?
No.
Journey?
Journey. I wish Carlos Santana would have inducted Journey. Because Journey came out of Santana.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he discovered Neil Sean and Greg Raleigh played in, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was fine. Look, I didn't want Kid Rock to induct Cheap Trick, but I was.
You said it was good.
I was okay with it. He was, you know, he did all the Kid Rock stuff, but he didn't make it about himself. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Bon Jovi. Christy sent me text yesterday. She said, could she just pick one Bon Jovi song?
Well, I wanted to do a trade because I was really having a hard time with Moody Blues. That was the one where I'm like, how do I just pick two?
Like, I think you're going on a good year, too, because two of your favorite bands are getting inducted.
I know.
That's
crazy. Do love the Moody's, too. I've actually seen them live in the 80s.
I saw them live 2 years ago. They sound great. Not that eclectic on stage, but they really did sound great. Mm. And there's the singers are still there, the two main guys. And
yeah.
There's three
I'm
of them
excited.
Still there.
I think it's going to be a good show.
I do, too.
I really do.
All right. So let's get in. Let's do this Bon Jovi thing. Okay. Since you only have one.
Yes.
I'll go, then you go, and then I'll
great.
Go. And we'll
sounds
be done.
Like a good plan.
All right. I went with a song from 1988. It's called Blood on Blood. And I just love a story song, and I love a song about friendship and about sticking together. And I just love this kind of stuff. And
nothing wrong with any of that.
And I have verse one queued up because I'll tell you after. Because verse two is a little bit sketchy. But let's hear verse one. I'll tell you why.
Well, I can still remember when I was just a kid. Friends are friends forever. And what you said is what you did. Well, it was me and Eddie and Bobby. We cut each other's hands. Held tied to a promise.
Okay, now, I know, I love it. I really do. I love that. Makes me feel good.
Good. You deserve to feel good, Pat.
But I'm going to tell you this. The second verse, a little sketchy. And so I'm going to read the lyrics to this.
Okay.
Bobby was our hero because he had a fake ID. When I got busted stealing cigarettes, he took the rap for me. Then here's the sketchy part. Danny knew this white trash girl. We each threw in a 10. She took us to this cheap hotel and turned us into men. That's a little.
No, nope.
That's
a hard pass.
That's a hard pass on that one. That's a gang bang. That's rapey.
Yeah.
That's not.
Absolutely.
Oh boy. That's rough. No. I'm not down with that. Just so people know, I'm not down with verse two.
picturing Pat yeah. in the audience, like, yeah, yeah, and then yeah. hearing and then that just, oh, going, like, oh, what?
No, guys, easy, easy. Okay.
So they play that in concert? Throw tens on stage?
I think they do play Blood on Blood in concert still, yeah. Maybe John, maybe rewrite those. Maybe rewrite that one a little bit.
I'm sorry, that made me laugh. All right, I'll play the one song that I like. It was the first song I was introduced to them. It's song number 10. MTV played it, and I thought, hey, these dudes are great.
All right.
They're just disappointment from the...
yeah, it's Runaway.
Now I'm going to give you a little backstory on that song.
Okay.
That was on the first album, but that was recorded like as a single. None of the members of Bon Jovi play on that, except
really?
John. Yeah, that's Roy Bittan from the E Street Band is on keyboards. Frankie LaRocca from Frankie and the Knockouts is on drums. Tim Pierce is on guitar. A bunch of other people on background vocals, and then the guy I mentioned, Hugh McDonald, who is the official bass player in Bon Jovi since 1996. He plays bass on that song, so he's been with the band since the beginning. So, and then you know that was a regional hit single, and so when they recorded an album, they didn't even re-record it. They're like, this sounds great the way it is. Just put it on the album. As
interesting.
Is.
I did not know that.
It says here it's also featured in the movie Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Well, just more great things.
I assume he's on a Segway during that scene, chasing some kids who are stealing sneakers or something.
All right. Now, get ready for some more Bon Jovi schmaltz. I'm taking us the whole way to 2013.
Oh, Pat! You're killing me!
This is from the album What About Now, and this is... This is a song called What's Left of Me.
They call us Dirty Harry, we're a punk rock band. Why they sold us CBGBs, I don't understand. All that's left now on the t-shirts, and they come from Japan. It just happens more these days. Hey, hey, I got a lot to give, say, can you see? I'm still breathing and my heart still beats. They took the car, but they left the lease. Does anybody want what's left of me?
There's never been an artist that could rewrite the same song over and over and over again, and I still... love it.
You don't have to record every song you write. Remember earlier I said there's only one bad Bon Jovi song?
You were wrong.
One in Dead or Alive? Oh, 100% wrong.
Well, you're going to have to fight with Alexi Lawless when he's here. One more thing about Bon Jovi before I move on. These songs, when these come on my treadmill mix when I'm at the gym, oh my God, the best.
You're just
I just get
running. You're like, yeah.
By the way, just kudos to me. I am 28 days straight at the gym. As of today, I started January 1st. I'm going to the gym every single day.
Wow.
Every single day.
That's amazing.
I'm feeling results. You can't see results yet, but I'm feeling.
But you've always been a fit man.
I'm trying. I've definitely gotten stronger. Because like day one, I was like, oh, 20 pounds.
Couldn't even open the door.
Horrible. I couldn't even open my lock. But now, feeling good. So just kudos to me. Did you have a New Year's resolution?
No. I did eat my black eyed peas, though. I've always avoided it. And I'm like, I need some good luck this year. You know the black eyed peas.
I do not know that.
Well, in the South and in Texas, it's for good luck on New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. You eat black-eyed peas. So, but it's a whole thing. You have to put them in water overnight. And then like, and I'm like, guys, let's all just take a spoonful of this. And Johnny actually liked them. So he had more than one bite. So he's going to have a lot of good luck.
See, I do something similar to that. I kiss Fergie full on the mouth.
Oh.
That's what I do. That's my black eyed pea thing. Tell
I kiss Will I am.
Tell Christy my parents, your grandparents, what they do for good luck on New Year's Eve.
They wash their hands with like a silver dollar. But it has to be between like midnight and like 12:01. So everyone's like fighting like each other.
That's
like,
adorable.
And they just hold a silver dollar in their hand and wash like it's soap and wash their hands with it.
It's been working.
No, it's never worked.
Well, aren't we going to talk about what songs we think they're going to play?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yes.
This is what I have some either ors with this band. And I didn't do all of them, by the way. Like, I just couldn't.
Okay. So this is the set list prediction, because then we'll see later on down the road which one of us was the closest.
Oh, okay. For sure, Living on a Prayer. 100%. That's in. And then there's either Wanted Dead or Alive or Blaze of Glory, because they're kind of the same.
Okay.
Either or. And then either It's My Life or You Give Love a Bad Name, because that's kind of the same vibe, okay. I think.
Blaze of Glory is a John Bon Jovi solo song. So I don't think he's going to do that.
Then Wanted Dead or Alive then.
Well, and here's what I have. I think they're going to do Wanted Dead or Alive.
Uh-huh.
I think they're going to do Runaway, because that was from the first album. That was the first.
Okay, but.
And they still play it in concert. And I think they're going to do It's My Life.
Okay.
Now, I know it's really hard to say how do I say Living on a Prayer isn't going to be one of the songs.
Yeah, because that's crazy.
But that's just what I think. Wanted Dead or Alive, Runaway, and It's My Life.
Okay.
Right. Now, Howard Stern's going to sing with them.
Robin. Look at the boobs out there, Robin, for Bon Jovi. Flash him, ladies, if you want to. Ooh. Done. Okay, the Cars. Here we go.
The Cars.
Going to give you the stats. They had over 500,000 fan votes. Excellent. Active 78 to 87, and then active in 2011.
Sure, yes.
Kind of.
Yes.
7 studio albums, no number one albums. 17 million albums sold in the USA, 13 top 40 singles, 4 top 10 singles, no number ones, and nominated for 4 Grammy Awards.
They won the first ever Video of the Year.
That's right, MTV. I agree. That's why you're here.
Yeah.
I'm not discounting that. Just wasn't on my list. The people getting inducted are all the original members, the only people that have ever been in the band.
Yes.
Elliot Easton, Greg Hawks, David Robinson, Rick Ocasek, and posthumously Benjamin Orr. Does Benjamin Orr have any children or a wife or anyone?
Well, he was married to this woman, Diane, who was his co-writer mm-hmm. on his solo album. And I know from just someone who I worked with once, that said, his son is on my kid's soccer or hockey team or something, and he looks just like him, so I know he has at least one kid.
So maybe that person will be there to accept for him.
I hope so.
Or Rutger Hauer.
I know.
Since they look alike.
They do, and I love them both.
Does Rutger Hauer play bass? Because I think there's a job for him. Do you think when the Cars play, is someone going to sit in on bass this time as opposed to the 2011 tour?
I hope so. Because I think that was, they're great musicians.
Yeah.
And I would hate for, I hope so. I hope, yes. And I hope someone, if they do Ben songs, that someone sings them. Because I love Rick's voice. I love it.
Yeah.
But it's, it's not that.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that they would have someone sub in.
It's like a Fleetwood Mac thing. When you go see Fleetwood Mac and everyone sings lead, it gives it a nice, you get a nice variety. And so when the Cars live, when you would get both of them singing leads on different songs, it's a nice, 'cause I do prefer Ben's voice.
It's great.
Yeah.
Like the songs where he's really called upon to kind of give that. It's just, and Rick has said in an interview, like he would, 'cause they asked him how he would pick who would sing what. And he's like, if it required a good voice, it was, I would always, Ben would sing them.
Ben, he's been gone for 17 years. Is that insane?
Insane.
He would be 70. He'd be 69 right now. He'd be 70 this coming October. That's crazy, right?
Crazy.
Passed when he was 53. it's terrible.
They have this wonderful concert that I think Rhino Records released, this Musikladen, and it's a terrific show. But at the end, they do this interview with all of them.
Oh, yes.
And
when he's
Ben
sick.
Is, yeah.
It's hard to watch.
It's hard to watch.
It's on YouTube, but he's very, very, he's really ravaged from the effects of pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
Really bad. Like,
really
he's so skinny, like it's skeletal. And that must have been so hard for them to sit there with him, knowing that, oh, this is the last time we're all going to be together here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not performing. It's just retrospective interview.
And I don't remember them ever all doing an interview together other than that. No. So that was really, as a fan, exciting because we didn't get anything from the end to then, nothing. And then seeing this thing and anyway, it was something.
Did we talk to Elliot with Elliot about that interview? I don't know if we did bring that up or not.
I don't know that we did, but we are going to do another show with him, right?
He told me that one, for him, that was so great that he didn't think he could ever top that. And even though I said, well, we're just going to do a track by track of Candy O. And he's like, yeah, don't be mad, but
no,
something like
okay.
that. And I'm like, that's fine.
That's
But I still have two vinyl copies of Candy O and four CD copies of Candy O that he promised to sign so I can give them away to listeners.
Well, I will.
Just going to go up to his garage and sit in his garage and fake smoke a cigar.
Well, then I wish I'd have known that because I purposely didn't bring any Candy O songs because I thought we would,
I did bring a Candy O song.
Oh, good.
So we're okay. Cool. Okay. So I'm going to let you.
I've got three.
So you go, I go, you go, I go, and then you do your third.
Okay.
Because you have three, so you go first.
I do.
Okay.
All right. I brought Panorama from 1980. I love this record, and you got me the
vinyl.
The vinyl.
I love this record too. It's kind of the oddball of the Cars albums, kind of.
Yeah,
and that's in a good way.
Yes, and what I love is that when you listen to it, you think, "Oh, this is so 80s. This is so whatever." It was released in 1980.
80, yeah.
So all this stuff was composed in the late 70s when disco was happening and punk and like all of these things and that. To me, anyway, I think it's terrific. And this is the title track from Panorama.
That's the longest Car song ever recorded, 5 minutes and 45 seconds.
The clip I almost brought was like that final minute, which is terrific. Mm-hmm. It's like Elliot and then the drums come in and it's just like this cacophony, this crescendo, and then it just ends. It's really lovely.
It's a jam, which when you think of jamming, you don't think of the Cars as a jam band.
Right.
And the first four songs on this are just killer. Panorama, Touch and Go, Give Me Some Slack, Don't Tell Me No. I mean, you don't get better than that to start a side one out. It's just fantastic. And I love the cover. I always talk about this album cover because there's something so simple, but something hypnotic about it. The band's the Cars. It's just a checkered flag and it doesn't mean anything with the word Panorama, but it all works. I've just always loved that cover.
Yeah.
It's so fantastic.
Now
my Cars, before each one of my two Cars songs, there's going to be a little, what do you call it? A prelude?
Yeah.
It's going to be a very little prelude. So my first, I lost my list was in front of me. I lost it. Let me find it. There it is. Okay. So my first song is from Candy O. It's All I Can Do. And before it goes in, just turn that up, Kyle, and then we'll just hear a little bit. And this is going to go right into the song then.
I fell over you.
that voice. It's
so good.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's fantastic.
It's amazing.
I remember Candy O vividly because when I was in high school, I worked at McDonald's. And whenever we had to do the closing shift where you would have to close everything down, the other two guys that always closed were Steve Yeun and Stuart Huff. And they would play Candy O on the boombox while we closed down. And like I had never really heard, I heard Let's Go, but I didn't really know the deeper tracks. And this is one that I was always like, how's that not a hit single?
Some airplay where I lived.
But it's a great song.
It's a great song. I mean, that album had Dangerous Type, Candy O, Let's Go. I mean, it was a great record.
Got a lot in my head. Everything's good.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the whole album. I say that I love it as much as the first album. It's not as good as the first album.
It's not.
But I do like it as much. It gives me the same, you know, feeling.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more poppy.
Yes.
And I like that.
Yeah, they kind of had a different vibe with each album, but yet it was Panorama's very them.
Panorama's more maybe artsy, if I have to put a word on it.
Sure.
If I have to label it.
We have to label it.
All right, what's your second car song?
There was a live concert that I recorded on cassette as a kid. And I think it's the Live at the Agora because the more I listen to it, the more I'm like, oh, this is the one I have on cassette. And what's so funny is in the middle of it, you can hear my stepbrother, like there's music and then it stops and you hear him go, the erasing of the tape. And then it goes back to music. I'm like, Eric. But I'm glad that this is, that I have this, but this is recorded in 1978. And this is a song that was never recorded on an album. And I find like, oh, it's so interesting what they did and didn't decide to lean into musically. And I, in fact, after listening to it before this album came out, I tweeted Elliot. I'm like, what's that song that goes, when did you change the color of your hair? Like, what is that song? And he said, oh, it's called Hotel Queenie. And I just thought, oh, I love Twitter for this. I can just ask Elise
ask a question,
and stuff directly.
Here it is, yeah.
And I love the song. It's called Hotel Queenie. It was never recorded except on this Live at the Agora in 1978.
That's nuts.
Like, had they leaned into that kind of music? And I love that.
Yeah.
But they were like, no, we're going to do more, you know, accessible kind of pop things.
Yeah.
But I love that song. And I think, like, listen to them. They're a legit rock and roll outfit.
And there must not be any studio version of that. Because we would have heard it by now.
No.
It's crazy.
No. I mean, unless, I don't know what's on the Candy O vinyl. Because on the Panorama vinyl, they recorded some things that they didn't ever release.
I'll tell you what's on the Candy O vinyl. It's
but I don't think they ever. God, I love it.
There's a demo on it. There's a demo of Hotel Queenie on the Cars first album on the 99 reissue bonus tracks. It's the last one.
Let me see if I can find.
That's
interesting. All right. Now we have to seek that out. Thank you, Kyle, for lifting us up and kind of bringing us down a little bit.
Yeah.
Now we're disappointed that we didn't know about that. All right, let's go back to my next car song. Is from Heartbeat City, 1984. And again, we have a little prelude that's going to take us right into Looking for Love.
Come on, lover, make the switch. Pull the cover. So wait. Keep the faith. Kill the light. You can't stop.
you pick that song?
I love that song.
You do?
I do. And I mean, because we've done a Cars episode, and I don't think I've ever played that song, and I really like that song.
Huh, all right.
You don't like that song?
It's okay.
I don't know. I just love it. I really do like it.
Oh, all right.
I like Heartbeat City. It's so funny. Like when, like those first five Cars albums, I love almost every song in every album. I really do.
No, I do too. But I'm like, eh.
That one doesn't do anything for
me. It doesn't do anything for me.
All right. Because it's not Benson.
No, he doesn't. He only sings like one song or two, right? One. He sings Drive.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Towards it.
He sings Stranger Eyes.
Yes.
Do you want help?
Yes. It's not the night. Yep. No. Yeah.
I like all those.
All right. I will play my last song. And I too, because I've played a lot of Cars or whatever. This is from Live at the Agora in 1978, another track.
Wow.
And when in the 80s, when I heard this, I had no idea who was singing. I had no idea what the song was because there wasn't the internet and you couldn't just look up a lyric.
Or text Elliot.
Right? Or just tweet Elliot, like, what is this song? So I, for years, was like, oh, here's the lyric. And then when I heard it, it's an Eddie Cochran song. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's that song. And oh my gosh, that must be Elliot that was singing the lead on that. This is again from Live at the Agora 1978. This is Something Else, with the lead vocal taken over by Mr. Elliot Easton. Greg Hawks on saxophone. Yeah. They're a rock and roll band.
I forgot that Greg Hawks would play some saxophone.
Yes. I love the time capsule that is that live show. I love it, love it, love it.
Greg Hawks with that mustache when he used to rock that mustache. Uh-huh. And the page boy haircut.
Sure.
Okay, let's do this now. Who would you like to induct them?
I don't know. It's hard. I don't know.
I got two possibles. I don't think these are going to happen.
All right.
I thought maybe Gwen Stefani.
Okay.
Because
I wouldn't.
And then maybe
hate that.
Then maybe she could sing Drive. You know, I would like whoever maybe inducts them, if it's a musician, that maybe it's someone that could sing one of the Ben songs with them.
Sure.
And then my other one would be maybe Roy Thomas Baker. He produced the first four albums, the classic Cars albums.
He's still with us?
He lives in Beverly Hills.
Does he really?
Yeah, I've been trying to get him on the show.
You have?
I've been trying.
Oh, Pat.
Yeah, because that would be, he produced so much stuff. Journey, Foreigner, Cheap Trick, Queen, The Cars, Ozzy. I mean, what else? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Be crazy. The Darkness.
Oh,
yeah,
I think
he produced the second Darkness album.
Okay.
So you have no idea. Kyle maybe thought maybe Rivers Cuomo from Weezer might induct them.
Okay.
Because he's kind of nerdy and kind of fits in with.
And didn't Rick Ocasek produce their.
Yeah, he produced two of their albums, I think.
That's right.
Maybe the Blue and the Green.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think? Now, we're going to definitely, list is going to be totally.
That's very hard to call because it just depends on, I mean, if it was. All things, it would be like, let's go, you know, touch and go, just what I needed. It would be that.
If you could pick it.
No, if Ben were alive.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're going to like, okay, well, we can't just go by our hits because, I just don't think Drive is the right vibe. I mean, you already have Dire Straits. You already
have
Nina Simone. You already have some kind of mellower, Knights in White Satin, I'm sure is going to be played.
Yeah.
So to me, why not do your up-tempo number? So I think that one is not going to be done. I could be wrong, but to me, the only for sure would be Just What I Needed. I think that's a for sure. I think that is a for sure.
Well, here's my three. See, because they do usually do hits. They usually do.
Yes.
Here's the three. I'm assuming they don't sing a Ben Orr song. So I'm going to go Good Times Roll, Shake It Up, You Might Think. But it could be anything. It really could be anything. But that's really what I think. If they don't do any Ben songs, Good Times Roll's from the first album.
It's a great song, and it's a great song to open
Shake
with.
It Up has great Elliot Easton guitar solo.
Yes, it does.
And You Might Think was gigantic. Like you
it
said,
was. It was a big hit.
And it won that MTV award for the video. So that's what I think. You'll see. You'll see in person.
I will.
You'll have to text me that night while you're there.
Through the sobs.
Are you assuming Elliot's going to thank you from the stage?
I mean, maybe. I'm not sure, but probably.
Let's move on to Dire Straits.
Okay.
They had 613,000 fan votes. They were active 78 to 91, 6 studio albums, 1 number 1 album, 14 million albums sold in the USA, 4 top 40 singles, 3 top 10 singles, 1 number 1 single, and they've won 4 Grammy Awards, and I assume those are all for Brother in Arms.
I'm assuming.
Okay. So right. You want to go first?
Since we already did the Dire Straits. I was really trying to, like, what did I not play? Yeah.
I didn't look, but I just kind of feel like these two songs I didn't play. And I didn't even pick one off Making Movies, which is my favorite album.
I didn't either, because I remember playing a lot of songs.
Yeah,
we really
rammed people down the throat with Making Movies.
I picked something from the first album that when it comes up in the mix in my car, mm-hmm. I always rock out. I think it's terrific. And it's Setting Me Up, number 8. It's the number 8 song.
Squeeze me down, beautiful. I never saw you breaking the law. Set me up, put me down. You're just making me up to be your clown. Set me up.
I mean, that's good solid.
Tune.
That's just
song.
A solid, great Knopfler song.
Yeah. I picked this song from 1979 off the second album, Communique, and this song is called Lady Writer. It's very Sultans of Swing Jr., kind of.
Yeah.
I think it is.
I think we played like that on the Dire Straits, because I remember the song is like he's watching the woman that mm-hmm. reminds me of you.
Yeah.
So he's singing to someone else about, and I think we had this discussion then.
Maybe we did. I would have to go back. I don't remember.
But I love that song.
I don't remember what's said after we recorded.
Yeah.
Let me say who's
They won 4 Grammy Awards for Brother in Arms, best rock performance in 1986 mm-hmm. by duo or group for Money or Nothing. Brother in Arms best engineered recording mm-hmm. in 1986, 1987 for best music video for Brother in Arms, and then 2006 for best surround sound album for the 20th anniversary edition.
Wow.
They're
getting as much play out of that as they can.
Yeah.
Here's who's going to be inducted. Alan Clark, Guy Fletcher, John Isley, David Knopfler, Mark Knopfler, and drummer Pick Withers. Those will be the people. Okay. So that'll be great to see them play together.
I mean, and by the way, if there's any part of the night where Elliot Easton and Mark Knopfler are on stage together, like, I already have to practice my meditation.
The jam at the end. They all jam at the end.
Like, I'm not going to be. I'm literally tearing up right now imagining what that is going
to
be like.
Kyle, what can we play just to break the sadness and the tears? I mean, is there anything that we could possibly drop in here just to break the sadness and the tears?
Yeah, give me a second.
Oh,
what do you think?
Goodness.
I mean, something. Guys. It's got to be something, just something. Great, that's terrific. That's what opened the year in review episode. There was that laugh and then into the theme song.
Oh my goodness.
And everyone loved it.
Oh, two people loved it. Everyone else despised
it. One of them bought you a CD.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. That's so cute. Okay. I just love it. Okay. I don't think I had anything from On Every Street when we did the Dire Straits episode. I don't think so. Again, I tried to do the same thing. Like, I didn't want to. And I don't know how you feel about the song. I love it. And it was re-recorded by Mary Chapin Carpenter.
Oh,
it was a big hit. Yes, it was a big hit for her.
I like
but
it.
I just absolutely love it. And sometimes when it plays at a certain time and you're just like, yes, it's all about this. And this is from On Every Street, The Bug. It's song number 9.
Yeah, it won't.
What?
I'm finding it on.
I have
it. Oh, you have it?
Yeah. No.
It's okay.
Boo. I really wonder. Well,
I don't go to. On Every Street isn't an album I listen to much.
No, but
start at like 15 seconds.
Don't tell me what to do.
Thank you.
The Bug. Hold on. Nope, too much. There we go. Strange
old game. Thank you, Dan. It's slow.
One step forward and it's back to go. Standing on a throttle, you're standing on a brake. Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. Sometimes it all comes together, sometimes you're a fool in love. Sometimes you're the Louisville slugger, sometimes you're the ball. Sometimes it all comes together, sometimes you're gonna lose it all.
I love it, I love it.
I love it too.
I love that song.
Yeah, I think On Every Street, when that album came out, I thought Dire Straits were done. I didn't even know. I really didn't think. It was 6 years after Brothers in Arms, so it's just like.
Yeah.
But maybe they toured for 3 years with Brothers in Arms. You know what I mean?
Oh, maybe. Like did a worldwide. Well, yeah.
So like sometimes it's like, 6 years between albums. It's like, yeah, we toured for 3 years. So.
Right.
But I might have to pull that out and listen to it. When's the last time you listened to
Elvis,
it?
Heavy
to
Fuel.
Bottom? I love not, Heavy Fuel.
I don't.
Rocks.
Top to bottom, no. But the songs, yes.
Pilar's in the house.
And looking glam and fab on a Sunday morn.
That's that sweater I bought you for Christmas. The girls told me. The girl said, Mommy's going to hate that sweater. Don't buy that sweater. And I said, get away from me. Children. Okay, my next song is from 1982 from... Love Over Gold. Only 5 songs on this album.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like 12 songs on the last album we just played.
Uh-huh.
12 songs, but 5 songs on this album. And this is, I love the song, Industrial Disease.
Uh-huh. Now warning lights are flashing down the quality control. Somebody threw a spanner, they threw him in the hole. There's rumors in the Logan Bay and anger in the town. Somebody blew the whistle and the walls came down. The boardroom, they're trying to trace the smell. There's a leaking in the washroom, there's a sneaking personnel. Somewhere in a corridor, someone was heard to sneeze. Goodness me, could this be industrial disease? Caretaker was crucified and sleeping at his post. Refusing to be pacified, it's him they blame the most. Watchdog or rabies, the foreman got a police. Everyone concerned about industrial disease. There's panic on the
street. I like that he uses the word spanner in there. Which is a British word for wrench.
Oh, I guess I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, there's a Rod Stewart album. It's called A Spanner in the Works.
Ah.
Which means it's mucking it all up.
I like how he tells the stories, like Bon Jovi, you say, tells these stories.
Right.
But he has a sense of humor about it that I love, that I just that just kind of made me giggle remembering
that. There's no sense of humor in a Bon Jovi song. There's no irony. There's no, it's just straight on, pump your fist, get your flag out.
Sure.
Work for the working man.
Yeah.
There's a song called Work for the Working Man.
Yeah, of course there is.
Now,
I know we spoke about this on the other, I think Money for Nothing and Sultan's a Swing for sure, but I don't know what that third song would be. Skate Away?
I have Tunnel of Love, but I have Songs of Spring and Money for Nothing. I have Tunnel of Love.
Tunnel of Love is 10 minutes long. They're not going to play that, Pat.
Well, but how long is Skate Away? I think Skate Away is long, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to tell you.
But
I think I know who's going to induct them, though. I think I do.
Okay. Am I going to be yay or am I going to?
I think you're going to be yay, and I think this would make sense. Maybe it's Sting.
Oh my gosh, that would be awesome.
That would be perfect.
That
right?
That would be perfect.
And then he can sing with them.
Oh my gosh, I'm already excited.
Tunnel of Love is 8 minutes. Romeo and Juliet is 6 minutes. Skate Away 6:40. I mean, those are all. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I will say he plays Romeo and Juliet in concert, in his solo concert, and it is awesome. I mean, it is like silent. Yeah. Like it brings things to a halt, like in a beautiful way, but I don't know. Like, I just don't know.
I mean, they could throw a Walk of Life in there just to jazz it up a little bit. Who knows?
Yeah, but would they do two songs from one album?
It's their biggest, not their best. But it's their biggest. Yeah. I get kind of bored a little bit with some of the Brothers in Arms songs.
You don't like Your Latest Trick and My Worry. Yeah, and okay. I love that. I love those. I love Right Across the River. They opened with that on the 1985 tour that I saw, and it was awesome.
As long as we're in agreement that Making Movies is the best album.
Absolutely. It's not only the best album, it is one of the best albums of all time. Yeah. I would put that up there with the Cars' first album.
It's pretty great. Even Les Boys.
yes,
but it's the last song in the album, so you can kind of, you know, if you're not into it, you can get rid of it.
All right, what's next?
Moody's.
This was tough for me because I love them.
You didn't realize how many Moody Blues songs you might have liked.
Well, I know because I've seen them live in the 80s. There was a period where as a teenager I would go and camp out in front of Sears to get tickets.
That's where you had to do it. We would do that in college. You had to wait all night long.
All night long. And like I did it for the Born in the USA tour. I did it for, there was a Tom Petty tour. I think Pack Up the Plantation was around that.
Yep.
And you would just go the night before. You'd tell your parents, like, I'm going to spend the night at Susie's. And then you'd go and then like you'd sleep next to a 20 to 30 year old bearded man. Like it just wasn't any. And then your friend would bring you donuts in the morning. It was great. Mm-hmm. The Moody Blues.
And how many tickets did you have to buy? You had to buy for everyone.
Well, here's the deal. I learned the trick is you buy two tickets, but you buy them separately so that at least one of them will be in the front row. And any time that I did that, I got good tickets. Well, the Moody Blues, that was, I don't know, 80 something. I show up before dawn. So let's say it's 5. There's no one there. I'm the only person.
Yeah, that's sad for the Moody Blues.
I mean, it was the 80s, though. I mean, like, it wasn't. Anyway.
It wasn't their heyday.
It wasn't their heyday.
But it was their comeback, kind of. They were coming back.
Yeah, they had a big hit, Your Wildest Dreams.
Yep.
But yeah, I was by myself for hours. I mean, I did get, front row seats, and it was terrific. But yeah, me by myself, like, hey. Just hanging out at the Sears, a teenage girl.
How old were the members of the Moody Blues, I wonder, when you saw them in concert? Because they seem like they're 90.
Yes,
now.
Yeah. Well, they weren't. I don't know. That's a hard thing because I was, 15, 16.
And look up. Okay.
Maybe 16. Yeah, I think I was 16.
Justin Hayward is currently 71.
Okay, so what's 1986, let's say? Or
he was born in 46, so he would have been 40.
Okay.
So he was fine.
He was fine.
He was fine. So funny, though, because you think, these super old men. Oh my God.
Yeah, my parents like them.
The drummer from the Moody's, when I just saw them 2 years ago with Mr. Chip Chinnery, Chip's Money Tips, his funny joke on stage was, he goes, you know, when we started, I had brown hair and white teeth. And now I have white hair and brown teeth.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. But maybe brush those teeth.
Brush those teeth.
And there's all kinds of dentistry that you can
afford.
Yeah, hello.
Sir.
Hello.
All right, you want to go first with the Moody's?
I do. This was hard, but I did pick my two favorites. They had two songs about being a singer in a rock and roll band.
Mm-hmm.
One of them I like more than the other, and it's called Veteran Cosmic Rocker. And let me just play the I have two clips for a minute. Just play the first one. This is sung by John Lodge, written by Ray Thomas. the guy that just passed very recently. Okay. Okay.
He steps into the remaining light, proud for while he's out of sight. Arms held high in the side of peace, his manager signed a one-night lease. The house is full and high, he's afraid he's gonna die. He's the apple of their eye. He struts, he strolls, his love is rock and roll. He's a veteran cosmic rocker.
That's him. That's Ray Thomas.
Wow.
He wrote a beautiful, like and then the flute comes in, which is also him. And I just read about this yesterday, and I thought this was so interesting because I didn't know, because I just assumed John Lodge wrote that song because he sings it. Mm-hmm. But Ray Thomas, the flautist slash harmonica player, wrote it. And at the very end, I'm going to play the very end of it, and there's some backtracking.
Okay.
And he's saying, what happens anyway, you know? It's him, Ray Thomas, the writer of the song.
Who just passed.
Okay, correct.
I listen very closely.
He's afraid that he will die.
What happens anyway, you know? He is afraid he will die. How it's poetic creepy. Is that whole... And this has always been my favorite Moody song because they played it live and I thought it was terrific. But anyway, I didn't know that stuff about that guy. Anyway, it was just...
Let me tell you,
gave me chills.
I just looked something up while those songs were playing. First of all, the people that are going to be inducted into the Moody Blues, a lot of people here. Graham Edge, Justin Hayward, John Lodge, Mike Pinder, Ray Thomas... And Denny Lane, who we know more from Wings.
Right.
He was only on the first Moody Blues album, but he does all the lead vocals on that album.
And it had a hit.
Yeah. So it's pretty, I would have been like this on whether Denny Lane would get in or not.
They, and I also read this, they are the only band whose first top 10 singles... First three top 10 singles took place in three different decades.
Wow, that's amazing.
Go Now. I think I wrote it down. Ooh. I guess Nights in White Satin. And then Your Wildest Dreams, I'm thinking.
Okay.
Anyway.
What is that? The notebook you brought with you. What is that? Is that a general notebook? What is that? It's not your rock solid notebook.
No, it's just a notebook.
Oh my God, look at that. Billie Jean. Okay.
Yeah, it's there are this company that puts together these notebooks that from old books. And this is Billie Jean King, the Lady of the Court. Looks like
what
would
be
a picture.
I won't get you because I know you don't like to get your picture taken.
Thank you.
I would take a picture of Billie Jean King. That's great. I remember that book when I was a kid.
You do?
I do. I remember that being in like the school library.
Oh.
Yeah, definitely.
Pick it up and throw it at your friend.
What did you say?
Pick it up and throw it at your friend.
Yeah, absolutely. What all is in that notebook? We're at the tail end of it. What is all this stuff?
This is when I was breaking the story for one of my screenplays.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Pilar's got her earphones on. Or like a list. This is, here are these scenes. This is the order of them. What am I going to wear on my trip?
So you do it, but I find it fascinating that you do it in your handwriting. You don't do it in a Word document or something?
I do, but at first I'll do it, you know, mm-hmm. like if I'm going to sushi by myself and I just want to muse, I'll bring a notebook because I don't want to bring the computer
to
my sushi place.
That's
just rude.
That's annoying to bring a computer to a restaurant.
Right. So I'll just bring a thing and... Like, oh, my lists. I'll make lists.
I love it, though. It looks like when you see his notebook, these are my original lyrics of Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Now, once this is filled up, does that go on a shelf with a bunch of other notebooks?
You know what?
Do you get rid of that?
I do. Unless it's got, like, Dear Diary, you know, then I'll just
throw
it away.
You could pull those pages out, though. You could pull...
But, like, it's just all of this stuff that I...
You don't need it.
It's already been recorded somewhere else if needed.
Only a crazy hoarder would keep that. And that's not you.
You're funny.
I didn't know that you had step siblings.
I have one stepbrother. Yes, he's been my stepbrother for 40 years.
And no biological siblings?
No.
And you're still close with this stepbrother?
Yeah, I mean, he lives in Singapore. He and his family live far away. But anytime we see each other, it's like, you know, no time has passed.
Have you ever been to Singapore?
No, when he was in Hong Kong, my dad and my stepmom and I went and did Christmas, and we went to Hong Kong and Shanghai and Bangkok.
Was it as fun as it sounds?
You know, I felt very displaced. Like, mm-hmm. I like travel. I like, but it's jarring. It's just, but thank goodness, like, he speaks Mandarin, so mm-hmm. he can navigate around. And I just felt really, you know, displaced.
What's his vocation? Can I ask? He
is a lawyer.
Okay.
And so he was working for a British firm, and now I think he's working for a bank.
So you have nieces and nephews from this gentleman.
I have one nephew.
So there's Johnny and there's this guy.
Johnny and Luke.
How old's Luke?
Luke is like 6 months younger than Johnny, around the same age.
You got to get these kids together.
I know. They're so cute. They're really, really very cute together.
All right, let's move on. I took the other song. I did take I'm Just a Singer.
Oh, I brought that one too.
You did? Yes. Oh, boy. I didn't know you brought...
No.
Oh, that's okay.
I brought both of the songs about being a singer in a rock and roll band.
Oh, I didn't know.
But it's great.
I could play something different then, and you can play that. Here, give me the thing.
Oh.
No, just play my next one, and then I'll find another song, Kyle. So I took one of the big comeback hits from 1986. This is Your Wildest Dreams. Mm.
Once upon a time, once when you were mine,
I always liked in the 80s when like the bands that were like Yes, that were like so like, you know, they were prog rocky or they were this and they had these big bombastic long songs, and then they're just like, let's just write some pop songs and get make some money.
And though I like Yes's pop songs.
Yeah, I do too. I love it. Yeah, I love the Yes pop songs.
And even like I mean, ZZ Top
couldn't pull the one I wanted to say.
ZZ Top was more, you know, not prog rock, they were more rock, like bluesy
right.
rock.
Yes,
but I like their pop stuff too.
Yeah, sure. Step inside my sleeping bag.
Yeah. You know who produced that song that you just played?
No, I do not.
Tony Visconti.
Really?
Yes, I just saw that, and I know you. You know.
Well, April said she'd bring him on the show. I met him. She introduced me to him.
That was a name I honestly didn't really know. It wasn't on my radar of producers that I kind of knew. And then when I read that, I was like, oh, that's so interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff.
Or as April says, Tony V. And I say, that's atroche.
V-sconce.
V-sconce. No, no one calls him that. Okay, what's your next tune?
Are you going to let me play I'm Just a Singer in a Rock and Roll
Band?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay. I've pulled another one out that
okay,
I'll play.
Okay, that's number two. They're playing that.
Yes, I think
and
so.
No one is going to be able to follow that. Like, if that is played with that kind of whatever, no one's going to want to follow that. Like, that is going to be the thing. The song of the night. That's what
that
I predict.
Maybe be like the jam song at the end?
I wonder.
Could be. Yeah, because they're all singers in rock and roll bands.
Yes, that would be awesome.
Kyle, that's a good call.
That would be awesome.
All right, the song that I just called an audible on and picked really quickly is Question.
Oh, yes, a good one.
Question. Here we go. Howard, do you know these Moody Blues songs? You're a young man.
I knew the I'm Just a Singer.
Okay.
That's the only one.
You didn't know Widest Dream?
That might have sounded familiar.
I'm going to jump ahead here. Here we go.
Why do we never get an answer?
You know this one, Kyle?
Mm-hmm.
Stop and look around us. There is nothing that we need in a world of persecution that is burning its greed.
They're definitely playing that. To me, it's Question, Knights in White Satin, I'm Just a Singer in a Rock and Roll Band. That order, like that's happening.
Here's what I have. Although I don't disagree with you, but I have Knights in White Satin. I mean, I think if there's any band on that stage that night that you could predict a song, it's Moody Blues are 100% playing Knights in White Satin.
Yes.
And then I had Question. Uh-huh. And then I had Your Wildest Dreams. Maybe they'll play maybe they'll play one of their 80s hits.
But, well, I like the voice too.
Yeah, I like that too. But I don't disagree with you either. So. And maybe John Lodge could sit in with the Cars. Good bass player.
Yeah.
Just to play the bass. I wonder if anyone, no, Bon Jovi's not sitting in with the Cars. Because it's just.
You know who can sing is Elliot's daughter.
Yeah, but then he has to convince Rick to let that happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. I don't know who inducts the Moody Blues. I don't know. Probably some British.
Oh, John Anderson.
From okay, I agree. Okay, that's
right.
Not bad. Yeah, sure. Sure. Why not? Yeah, sure. Well, the rock and roll is kind of done.
Yes. Oh, yes.
But now we're gonna honor two ladies.
Yeah, women of color. Two women of color are gonna be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think that's awesome.
Let's go. Do you want to do Nina first?
Sure.
Okay. Let's do Nina Simone.
That would be the alphabetical order.
That's true. I before I went to find songs, I just went into my own personal iTunes library. I'm like, wonder if I have any Nina Simone in here. I typed it in. I had two songs.
Oh.
So the first one I'm going to play is it was actually on a compilation called Now That's What I Call Halloween.
Okay.
And this is
it's just her going like a ghost.
Ooh.
Doors creaking.
Meow. This is I Put a Spell on You.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I put a spell on you. Cause you're mine. Do, 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 do. You better stop the things you do. You know I can't stand it. You're running around. You know better, Daddy. I can't stand it 'cause you put me down. Yeah, yeah. I put a spell on you. Because you're mine.
Who wrote that song?
Find out.
Yeah.
Talk it up. Talk
okay.
It up.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead. I'll play my first song.
Annie Lennox does a version of that.
But
that's good.
My first song is another one of her big.
Jay Hawkins.
Oh. Mm.
1956, written by Jay Hawkins.
This is Feeling Good. Her other bit, like kind of bigger mm-hmm. song that has been redone and redone. It's song number 11.
Flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day.
It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good.
I mean, come on.
It's pretty great.
It's phenomenal.
Now, my next Nina Simone song, let me give you some backstory on this. Pete Townsend has an album called The Iron Man, which is based on the book by Ted Hughes. And The Iron Man has actually became the movie The Iron Giant.
Oh.
And Pete Townsend owned the rights to that. He's producer on that movie. But he did a musical version of it. And in this musical version, Nina Simone plays the part of the space dragon. So this is Nina Simone as the space dragon singing a song called Fast Food. It's fun.
Fast food, fast food. Feed me fast. I've been waiting for an eon, and I just won't last. I want fast food. I want food fast.
It's fun.
It is fun. Yeah. I like her voice. I don't really know the context of a song about fast food. But.
I don't remember. I don't. In the movie, there is not a character of the space dragon. I don't know the space dragon in the Iron Giant movie, but I guess in the book.
Hmm.
And Pete Townsend obviously wants to stay faithful to the book.
Yeah.
So, did you ever see The Iron Giant?
I did. Oh my God, I did.
Kyle doesn't like it.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen it. I should probably try and rewatch it.
You should
see if
watch
I still
it.
Don't like it.
But. Yeah, step it up.
Yeah, I watched it with Johnny.
Oh, he loved it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's good. It's got a good message.
Nina Simone wrote some protest songs. This one that she wrote, this is her song.
Okay.
That she's performing in Carnegie Hall, I think 1964. And it was her response to the murder of Medgar Evers. And it's called Mississippi Goddamn.
This is a show tune, but the show hasn't been written for it yet. Hound dogs on my trail. School children sitting in jail. Black cat cross my path. I think every day's gonna be my last. Lord have mercy on this land of mine. We all gonna get it in due time. I don't belong here, I don't belong there. I've even stopped believing in prayer. Tell me, I'll tell you, me and my people just about do. I've been there, so I know. Keep on saying, go slow.
It's a nice. Really,
it's really good.
Like it's a really profound. If you listen to the rest of the song, and it's terrific. But I was reading that when they sent promotional copies to DJs across the country, they would send it back broken. Because the profanity, because of goddamn in the title, they would break it and send it back. Oh, like I can't even imagine.
What a waste of postage.
Yeah, at least they were aware of it.
I just can't even imagine what her life and struggles and what have you. And to make great music and now to be honored and hopefully like her family will be there. And I don't know any of that. Like, I don't know if she had kids or any of that sort of thing. But
she... I wonder who will sing a couple of her tunes.
I don't know, but it's got to be somebody great. Pilar is raising her hand. She's going to sing.
Yes, ma'am.
You did?
You saw Nina Simone in concert twice?
Yes.
Wow.
How old were you when you saw Nina Simone? Were you in your early 50s then?
That's amazing.
What are you doing? No one said come over to the mic.
Yes, come over to the
no
mic.
No one said this.
I want to hear.
What? Okay, what?
So I saw her when I was in college.
Get closer to me.
And then I saw her when I first moved out to L.A.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but the first time I saw her was a complete accident, which was, it was kind of cool. So do you want to hear about it?
Yes.
Yeah, you're over here now.
brought the show to a halt.
So, I was at Bard in New York State.
Okay.
And my boyfriend of the time, who was not Pat.
Story's over.
was visiting me. And we were kind of a little bit stoned. Sorry. But anyway, we thought it would be really fun late at night to just take a train and just go right into New York City, right?
Okay.
And so we did that, and then we got there, and then we didn't know where to go. So I just, after we took this train, we hopped in a cab, and I went, can we go to the Village? Like, heard of it, right? So we go there, and then we pop out, and I was like, oh, look, a jazz club. You're supposed to go to a jazz club at the Village. And so then we went to this jazz club, and Nina Simone was performing.
That's
crazy.
Wow. And we got to see her sing Four Women.
Okay.
Which I think is going to be played that night.
Okay, because it's another one of her protest songs, right?
Yes. It's such like a poem, you know, and that was really interesting. And then when I first moved out to L.A., I saw her at the Bowl.
What?
Yeah.
That's right. She lived a fairly long life, 70?
70.
Okay. That's, yeah. I mean, people live longer, but I mean, for a jazz singer, sometimes shorter, so... Anyway.
So there you go.
That's so
and
cool.
I never go to concerts. Right.
That's,
how about that?
That's jazz talk with Pilar Alessandra. Here's the difference in my boyfriend came out and we were stoned. We hopped just on the whim. We hopped a train. We went to a jazz club. Now, this is what was going to happen at our house last night. We're both in bed early in our pajamas. And she's like, do you want me to make that hot drink I make? And we'll put a little liquor in it. And then we'll watch the Lego Batman movie because I got that the writer of it on my podcast tomorrow. That's what... That's how times have changed.
Oh, Chris McKenna?
John Willington? It's John Willington.
It's terrific.
It is. It's fantastic.
Terrific. It's so
yeah,
funny.
There's a lot of writers on it. He's one of them.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
John Willington.
Super, super funny. I love that movie.
We watched a John Willington movie that's going to be coming on Netflix. They sent us a secret screener to watch it. What was it called again?
It's called... When
We First Met with Adam...
Driver.
No. You introduced me to him at that rock and roll... That thing Gary
Divine.
Was producing for... Adam Devine.
Oh!
Yes. And he was
He was really funny.
He's so... Reminds me of Jim Carrey in this movie so much. Like, this could be a Jim Carrey movie from the 90s. Like, just his expressions and the way he plays it. I can't...
I like that. I think he can appeal to a broad audience.
He
can appeal to people of different... ages and
yeah.
You know, not all
he's cute enough for the girls. He's
yep.
funny for the guys and
yes.
not threatening. And
sure.
he's, yeah,
the girls whole, like funny too, but okay.
That's true. yeah. Unless it's a stoned at the jazz club.
I love that story, Pilar. I love it. How amazing.
So we have one more artist that Christy's
oh, yeah,
going to cover.
I brought, yes. Sister well, Rosetta Tharpe.
First, are we going to say who we think's going to induct?
I don't know who will induct. I would hope
Beyonce.
Maybe. I mean, I would hope that whoever performs her songs is an African-American woman.
I hope
if it's
that it
not,
would be a woman of color. Yes.
It's going to be a problem.
The only person it might be, one person who might sing a song, because after this Netflix, they had a Netflix documentary like 2 years ago about her. After that, they had like a tribute concert
okay.
and John Legend played some of her songs.
Oh,
so maybe he might
good.
Do one or a company with someone else.
I still think it needs to be a woman of color.
Yes.
Like Alicia Keys or someone.
Yeah.
She has a beautiful voice.
Erykah Badu.
Ooh.
I don't know. I'm just throwing names out there.
yeah, no, that would be really
but Beyonce's
interesting.
Good. I mean, any, yeah.
There are a lot of people they could get.
There's a lot of people that they could get for sure. So they better get them.
Yeah. amen.
Okay. So
okay.
tell us
so,
about, because
okay.
this last artist, I didn't cover her just because she wasn't in the Wikipedia list, but she's being inducted because of influence? Is that what it is?
Yeah, early influence.
Early influence.
If you scroll down, there's this early influence. She's right there.
Okay, I didn't scroll down.
And she was a guitar player. She could sing and play guitar. And like when and I was reading this, that when she would go places, like they would make her accompany herself, you know, being a person of color. And, it, you know, things weren't so easy for her either. And this was the 40s. And at song number six, this one is Strange Things Happening Are Happening Every Day, and it's her playing, her singing and playing guitar.
If you want to view the crime, you must learn to quit your nine. There are strange things happening every day. If you hew right to the line, you can live right all the time.
It is great.
This was like 40, early 40s.
It's crazy. I'm reading this from Wikipedia. It says that she was a pioneer in her guitar technique. She was among the first popular recording artists to use heavy distortion on her electric guitar. It also says her guitar playing technique had a profound influence on the development of British blues in the 60s. In particular, a European tour she did with Muddy Waters, a stop in Manchester, has often been cited by Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, and Keith Richards. Now, when she would, when they would tour, when Muddy Waters and Sister Rosetta, I almost said Rosetta Stone.
Sure,
which is how I'm learning Japanese. Right. when they would go to the UK, was there a racial bias in the UK at that time, or were they treated? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm sure they weren't treated as poorly as in the American South.
Yeah.
I'm sure that.
So they must have welcomed a trip like that to the UK.
I would think. I don't know either. Right. Speak for them. But I'm not sure. But this next one will sound quite familiar. It's called Nobody's Fault But Mine.
What? Oh, it's nobody's fault but mine. It's nobody's fault but mine. It's nobody's fault but mine. My mother taught me how to pray. My mother taught me how to pray. Then if I die and my soul be lost, it's nobody's fault but mine.
It says Nina Simone also recorded a version of the song too.
Oh,
it's pretty cool.
It was a Blind Willie Johnson song. To be fair, it wasn't her song. It was Blind Willie Johnson's song. And I actually looked it up. I'm like, does Zeppelin give them credit at all? Give him credit?
Zeppelin doesn't give credit to anyone.
We went away from that version. And I'm like, I don't know. I think the kind of central thing is still there.
A lot of plagiarism in the Zeppelin catalog, unfortunately.
Yeah. And it's interesting because if anything else, until someone says something is not okay, you think it is okay.
Sure.
But I know that like Willie Dixon gets credit for a Whole Lot of Love, right?
Yeah.
Now, Presence was years after that.
Yeah.
So did that lawsuit not come into? I mean, I don't.
Like all they needed to do was put one more name in the writing credit.
And at that point in their career, they're not going to. It's not going to take away all their money they've made.
Yes.
My favorite story, recent story, is when when the Rolling Stones recorded a song called Has Anybody Seen My Baby?
And, yes.
And then someone said, hey, guys, that sounds a lot like
Constant Craving.
Constant Craving. Yeah. And they go, all right. And they just put, yes, they put her name in the, her name and her co-writer in the thing.
And the Sam Smith song that sounded like Won't Back Down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, great. Tom Petty. Great. Done. Fine, fine. Boom.
More than happy. More than happy to do it.
Because I also believe that that sometimes things come to you that you don't know. Like, I can remember when I was on King of the Hill. By the time I joined, there was already 6 years of it.
Yeah.
And I'd come up with a bit, or I'd have to email a few people and be like, oh, did I come up with this? Or did I hear it?
Yeah.
And so I don't think people set out to plagiarize. I really don't. And I had this discussion last night about comics. I would guess that people maliciously steal material fewer times than it just sinks, something comes in, and then you just, oh, I just came up with this bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I think, because it's too easy to figure out plagiarism. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. No, you're right. You're right. It just,
I mean, in music and that kind of thing, in written word, I can't really speak to, but anyway.
All right.
That's that.
This episode is going to drop like in the middle of February. At that time, it'll have been 3 whole months since you were here solo by yourself.
Okay.
So maybe you get in here a little bit more. How much of a struggle? I felt like this was a struggle yesterday.
This took me half a day.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to try to come up with topics where you just go in your iTunes and pick a song that has the word dishpan in it.
Well,
or something.
No, but I mean, I like.
That might be hard.
Yeah. Bad example on my part.
I mean, it's good because, I mean, obviously I love music and,
yes,
and whatever, but.
But I certainly don't want to take a whole Saturday away from you to prepare and then 2 hours on a Sunday morning. That's not what I want to do, because I want to make it
You're not a dick.
But I want to make it as easy as possible for you to get in here.
Okay.
So the next time, if I throw out just a simple thing and you go, that sounds kind of lame, I'm going to go, it's just to make it simple for you, Christy. Songs with the word moon in it. Are you kidding me? But, or you can come up with a topic.
Rock and roll dishwasher.
You come up with a
dish pan.
Yeah, well,
rock and roll dishwasher. Murray that is really funny.
Murray
I
did the rock and roll laundry basket. And so it was all songs that had any article of clothing in it.
Like shirt or like boot, shoes,
pants, okay, hats, anything.
Oh, that's
funny. Do you want to do the rock and roll dishwasher?
But then that's like spoons, like the Lovin' Spoonful. I have to play them.
No, it's the song. So it'd be like a spoonful of sugar.
Because you won't let me do the band. We've already established this.
Well, I mean, if you set that up in advance with me, let's come up with an easy topic too. We don't have to do it right now.
Okay.
Okay, Christy, where can we find you on social media?
On the internet. But you're
at,
I exist.
At Christy S. Mann at Twitter?
Yes.
And what projects do you have? Any projects you can talk about?
Just working on a pilot and putting a movie together that this one helped me with.
And that one over there. Oh, Jazzy.
Yeah.
Jazzy Jane.
Jazz queen.
With her toke it up, Jazzy Jane.
Yeah. She's got her beret on askew wandering into the jazz club. I'm seeing it. I'm picturing it.
A short, very short skirt. I get jeans. This guy got short skirts. Okay. What? What else are we saying? Oh, so, and is the movie that you've told me about, is that still happening?
It's right now.
With the same attached star?
Yes.
Okay.
Right now, we are going out to find the actress.
Okay.
And my people have said, like, shoot high.
All right.
And
wow, that's great.
So let's do a couple of shots,
mm-hmm,
big, and then work our way down.
Okay.
So a manager of a person that I want to play the part is reading it now. So.
All right. That's great. Very exciting.
We'll see.
Very exciting. Kyle, you are at Kyle Dotson Funny.
Yep.
We are at Rock Solid Show.
Mm-hmm.
Pat_Francis.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon is patreon.com/Rock Solid Podcast. Shout out to Joe Van Overberg, who does the notes. You know him as Joey Notes. The notes are great because you can go there and you read about the show and then you say to yourself, I'm not listening to that. That sounds awful. So that's what the notes are there for.
It's actually for the, if you're listening and you're like, oh, what was that? They played a song in the middle that I liked and now I can't remember, blah, blah, and you go back.
And that's
and then
how you
it's
find
there.
It.
Yeah.
Let me give a shout out to, and I hope I don't miss anyone's name. I'm going to give a shout out to all of our Rock Solid artists. Because they do the Facebook artwork every week. I ask them to do it. I give them an assignment and they always say yes, and they're great and they're talented. And I hope that they're able to put these artwork of theirs into a portfolio and get a job or something. But it's Glenn K. Amo, Jason Levy, Jamie Whitlock, Adam Jones, Kyle Hildreth, Daryl Asher, Aaron Gould, Joshua Tabak, David Ace Gutierrez, and Adam Harmon.
Thank you.
And I hope I didn't miss any of the people.
They're terrific.
Now, the last but not least, our playout song. I looked. This is the number one by all the bands that are getting inducted. And if you could start this out with a little Christie for me and then right into it.
Oh, yep. My God.
This song is the most popular song, the most successful song by any of these bands that are getting inducted. It's a Dire Straits song.
Ooh.
It was number one for 3 weeks in a row, and it is Money for Nothing. Thank you, Christie. Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks.
Mwah.
On MTV, that ain't working.